Welcome to Supersized Science, where we feature research and discoveries nationwide, enabled by advanced computing technology and expertise at the Texas Advanced Computing Center of the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jorge Salazar, a science writer at TAC. In 2025, the online web platform DesignSafe proudly marks its 10th anniversary as the nation's premier cyber infrastructure for engineering and social science research on natural hazards. DesignSafe's computational resources, software, and expertise has empowered 10,000 users, scientists, engineers, students, and other researchers with tools for managing, analyzing, and sharing data on an expanding list of natural hazards, including earthquakes, hurricanes, inland flooding, tornadoes, landslides, and wildfires. As a core component of the National Science Foundation-funded NSF Hazards Engineering Research Infrastructure, or NERI, DesignSafe's impact extends far beyond technological innovation, playing a transformative role in advancing research practices and collaboration in the natural hazards field. Joining us on the podcast is Ellen Rathje, the principal investigator for the DesignSafe project. Dr. Rathje is a professor and the Janet S. Cockrell Centennial Chair in Engineering at the Cockrell School of Engineering at UT Austin. Dr. Rathje, welcome to the podcast.
Great, thanks. It's great to be here.
What's important for the public to know about DesignSafe?
Well, we've seen so much over the last decades how natural hazards can impact our infrastructure, our communities. And so NERI and DesignSafe in particular plays a critical role for us to perform research to improve our understanding of these consequences of natural hazards. So DesignSafe in particular, as you noted, is the cyber infrastructure. And that means we're an online web platform that provides various researchers in this space. There's the data repository, which is called the Data Depot, which has over 1,800 published data sets, 50 million files, that has been accessed over 800,000 times over the last 10 years. So we see data regarding natural hazards not only being collected, but being published and available to the broader research community to accelerate our research discoveries. Now, on the computational side, DesignSafe provides access to tools, online computing resources here at the Texas Advanced Computing Center, such that researchers can couple that data with computational simulation, artificial intelligence, and machine learning, so that we can even further accelerate our discoveries, so we can truly have an influence in reducing the impact of natural hazards on the built environment and our communities.
Could you speak to the focus of DesignSafe natural hazards and lessening their impact and some of the ways that it provides research support for being able to better understand things such as earthquakes, windstorms, flooding, and now this year, it's including wildfires?
Well, let me just give you a few examples. And these are really kind of neat stories where you can see we go from observation to data to changes in the code, in the building code. So one example is some observations from the hurricanes that hit Florida in about 2017, 2018. And there was clearly some interesting damage patterns for elevated structures. So structures that are elevated because of the coastal hurricane hazards. But there was some interesting wind damage that was concluded to be caused by the fact that these structures were elevated. So these structures are elevated because of the water hazard, but it seems to enhance the potential for wind damage. So these observations were made in the field after the hurricanes. And then there were some wind tunnel tests done at the Florida International University at their wall of wind, looking at scaled models of buildings, both elevated and unelevated, and they found the similar observations experimentally in this controlled setting that, yes, the impacts of wind are different and more damaging when the building is elevated. And because of all of that, in the recent update to the building codes, there are new wind loading coefficients associated with elevated structures such that these buildings that are built and designed in the future will be designed better to withstand those wind loads. Now, of course, wind loads, hurricanes are not the only hazard that we're concerned with. As you mentioned, wildfire is also becoming an important natural hazard that we're learning more about and we're seeing happen more often. And so over the last 5 years, and then culminating really this year in 2025 with the wildfires in the Palisades in California, we've seen researchers go out into the field, again, trying to understand the evolution of these wildfires, as well as the damage to the infrastructure. So what influences the fire going in one direction relative to another? Of course, the wind matters. We can't control the wind. But are there other characteristics of how things are built, where they are built, that influence the direction of the wildfire? And that then ultimately is we're starting to see researchers do computational fire simulations where they can look at these things numerically on the supercomputers where they can say, if I change the wind direction, how does that change the evolution of the wildfire? If I build things differently in different locations, how does the topography play a role? And all of that goes to our better understanding the hazards at what we call the wildfire-urban interface, because that's where it's most critical for our facilities. So the data that people are collecting in the field after these wildfires are published in our data repository, the Data Depot, such that the broader research community has access to that really critical data that was collected. And many people can make use of it and accelerate our research discoveries. It's all about that.
This leads to my next question, which is what's in it for the public, for non-scientists?
You can go back 50, 60 years and researchers have been studying natural hazards and their impacts. But the issue was always the pace of getting those findings into practice such that the next buildings are built better. Different infrastructure is improved because we know that there is some sort of deficiency that we've identified. So it's always that rate of adoption and that pace of change. What DesignSafe does is through the ubiquitous sharing of data across a very large community, as well as access to the computing resources that allows you to analyze that data faster, better, and come to conclusions faster. One of our main goals is to accelerate improvements to how we build and design infrastructure, cities, et cetera, to withstand these impacts. And that influences and impacts every person who is living in the United States and around the world who are potentially impacted by natural hazards. And if you consider all the natural hazards, whether it's earthquakes, windstorms, tornadoes, wildfires, hurricanes, just about everybody, everywhere, has the potential to be impacted by these hazards.
What is the status of DesignSafe now in June of 2025?
Well, as I've mentioned, we've got loads of data. We've got over 10,000 registered users for DesignSafe. And what we see going forward is we really want to further tap and enhance our AI services. And we see that in two ways. One being, how can we help our researchers take advantage of AI and machine learning? And of course, I've already mentioned we have the data, we have the computational resources, but making it easy to link those things together and find those things and do that work is one place where we have a focus. So this idea of helping our researchers use AI in their work. But there's a whole other side where we want to use AI to make the interface itself more usable and more easily usable by our researchers. So that means rather than simply providing our documentation as one long website, we'll have a DesignSafe chatbot where you can ask your question and it will come back with a nice textual description of exactly what you're asking of DesignSafe, whether it's what is all the LiDAR data that's available? How do I run a million simulations on the high-performance computer? Those things, all that information's there in the documentation, but you have to sort through it, find it. With the AI chatbot, we can get you that information very, very quickly. So again, we see things on researchers using AI, in their work, but us helping researchers by having AI work within the interface.
What are the biggest accomplishments that you'd like to share about this decade of DesignSafe?
Well, when I think about the accomplishments of DesignSafe, you can really think of them in two buckets. One being the research accomplishments by the research community that were enabled by DesignSafe, and I've already outlined several of those. But there's also a way to think about the accomplishments in how we've changed the culture of research, how we've changed the process of research such that it's really a whole new paradigm on how people are doing research. So when you look at the, for instance, the data repository, the data depot for DesignSafe, there's always been a challenge in natural hazards engineering is that we have such a diversity of types of data. Hurricane data in the field is different than earthquake data in the field, which is different than what you would do in a laboratory. So how do we organize data such that other researchers can make sense of it? And so one of the unique things that we've done, and this was really led by our data curator, Maria Esteva, who is a senior research scientist here at the Texas Advanced Computing Center, was developing a set of flexible data models such that you as the researcher can appropriately organize your data in the way you think best fits what you're doing and what others will want to do with it. And so we have a data model specific to laboratory experiments. We have a data model specific to simulation, so publishing the results of simulation data. And we have a data model for field research, so for those field reconnaissance efforts when we look at impacts of natural hazards. So one of the big accomplishments, and Maria has written this up in academic journals on data curation, we get a lot of inquiries from other data repositories, is this idea of providing a flexible data model that researchers can use. Researchers really like that. But what I always say is with flexibility comes responsibility. So that does shift a bit of the responsibility onto the researchers to do a little thinking about how to organize the data. And we're helping them do that. So that, again, is one of the big accomplishments in the data space. In terms of the computational space, this co-location of data and computational resources, along with an interface that makes it easy to analyze that data, is something that we've really strived for. And in particular, the Jupyter Hub. So we have a Jupyter Hub that runs on the computing resources here at TAC, but it has access to that data. It has access to the supercomputers. Researchers who are using Python almost exclusively in their work can then have this relatively simple interface in a Jupyter notebook in a Jupyter Hub where you have co-located access of data, tools, and compute resources. So that's another way that we've been able to really push the research community forward.
Anything you'd like to highlight in this collaboration with the Texas Advanced Computing Center, TAC?
TAC truly is a partner that places the research goals first. There's great research being done here on how to better do HPC, build HPC systems, doing AI, etc. But unless you have that connection to the user base, you'll never get those users into your domain. And so what has been amazing about what TAC has been able to do is really put the researcher first and realize that it's important to build that bridge. And so we've just had an amazing partnership, and I really credit TAC and its leadership for helping that happen.
Looking ahead for DesignSafe, what's next? What are some of the what's coming up in the future?
As I mentioned, AI and machine learning is a huge effort for us going forward in terms of getting more data that people can train AI machine learning models. We want to make the AI and machine learning training a little bit more seamless, so easier. Perhaps, you know, you bring in an image and it automatically, upon upload, gets tagged with damage information because we have a model already in place. We also, you know, as I mentioned, we have all these data models and we do put a little responsibility on the researchers to organize their data. Well, what if we could do some initial AI enabled pre-curation, pre-organization, that then the researcher can edit. So this idea of AI-enabled curation of your own data, so you dump it in, we organize it in a way, and of course, you know, just like any AI chatbot, sometimes it hallucinates. It may not give you exactly what you want, but you have something to start with. You have it organized. You say, you know, maybe I'd move this over here. I'd rename that. But it, rather than starting with a blank page, so to speak, to figure out the organization, let's give you something to look at. So as I mentioned earlier, I think AI machine learning in terms of how the system serves the community is going to change, and how we help researchers use AI and machine learning in their work will also change. So that's a huge thing. We also want to reach out to other communities, other natural hazards communities. We mentioned the wildfire community. There are other natural hazards that are of interest as well, maybe more on tornadoes. And whenever you bring in a new community, there are some nuances in the tools they use, how they do their work. And so we want to work with them to make sure we're serving them with the tools and resources we have, but also see if something is missing such that we can improve that.
This is my final question. Thank you very much. Congratulations on your recently, the National Academy of Engineering recognized your work to establish Design Safe in a February 2025 press release that announced your election to their ranks. What inspired you to create Design Safe?
You know, I became a faculty member in 1998, so this was very early in my career, being part of this idea of sharing and publishing data. But we were so ahead of our time in 2000, we really didn't know where we were going. And so I saw the benefits, for sure, but I also saw the pitfalls. And so it was that opportunity to partner with a great organization like TAC that made me realize that we could really take this to the next level. And it's really exceeded any of the expectations that I initially had, the impact that we've been able to have. We have Design Safe users from all around the globe, people depositing data using our resources. I go to conferences now, and sometimes someone will talk about Design Safe without any prompting. Oh, our data is in Design Safe. I got this data from Design Safe. We've joked that maybe it's become like a verb, like Google it. We're going to design safe it. Yeah, we're going to put it on Design Safe. And so for me, although I know my technical research has had a lot of impact in the engineering world, really Design Safe has had the biggest impact, the broadest impact, because it doesn't only impact the field where I do my work, which is earthquake engineering, but a much broader set of researchers from around the globe.
You've been listening to Ellen Rathje of UT Austin. Supersized Science is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world, brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the hosts and not of the University of Texas at Austin. For the Texas Advanced Computing Center, I'm Jorge Salazar.